going to talk to you as the Lord has directed on faithfulness. And today we're going to talk about faithful for more. Faithful for more. So we're in our series called It's Harvest Time. And so how do you get more harvests of blessings? How do you experience more of God's purpose to prosper you? His will and his intention is to prosper you. God's will is prosperity. God's will is increase for your life. God's will is abundance for your life. Amen. Amen? But there's qualifications that are required for more. There are qualifications that are required for more. So in Revelation 2:10, you see Jesus talking about faithful. He said, don't fear all these things which you are about to suffer, because, you know, these are hard times we live in. These are the last of the last days. Before the rapture comes, this account is given by the lips of Jesus in the book of Revelations. And he's saying, indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison. I mean, there's going to be some hard prison, persecution, whatever. And you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful how long? Till death. Everybody say, faithful till death. Faithful to death, and I will give you the crown of life. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, and again, we're talking about stewardship side, which is the faithfulness side. Moreover, it is required. Everybody say, it is required. In stewards that one be found faithful. Now, God wants you to handle things. Now, listen to me closely. I'm going to give this statement at the outset. God wants handlers. He said it not once, but several times this week. I want to have people in the church, specifically here, who will handle large sums of money, who will handle spiritual things and graces. But you can't, if you don't handle the money right now, then you'll never be able to handle the thousands and the hundreds of thousands and tens of thousands and the millions that may come through your hands. He said, one be found what? Faithful. Now we categorically simplify it in three areas: your time, your talent, and your treasure. You can't be one-third faithful. And some people think, well, just as long as I show up to church. Showing up doesn't qualify you for being faithful. Amen? Amen? Amen. Because it's not just coming to church, it is being the church. It's being the church. Amen. Because some people can come to church real good, but they have a posture of that whole FIFO thing. You know, grace, God's going to do it all. God's going to help me. God's going to heal me. God's going to deliver me. God's going to bless me. And I don't have to do anything. Some people are in church and unfaithful with their time because they give no time in the word and prayer at home. Amen. They don't give no time to being a witness in their personal realm of influence. Amen. Everybody say, I'm supposed to be faithful with my time. Some people spend more time on social media than they do in the Bible. Analyze your TV time and your time with the Lord. And then your talent. Some people give their best efforts for their natural vocation, and you should. And I encourage you that you should always give great diligence to work hard and to work smart and to excel at work. You should not be the lazy one, the one that they want to cut, the one they want to get rid of. You should not be the one that they're always looking at to fire. Amen. Amen. You should be the faithful one that the owners or the managers say, you know, this person, you can trust them to be on time, to be prepared, and to be ready mentally and physically to engage in work. They're not going to ride the clock. They're not going to get over. They're not going to steal stuff from the office. They are going to be faithful. Are you listening to me? Financial faithfulness, financial stewardship. So, in other words, we have to be found faithful with our Lord's resources that he puts in our hand. Now, a steward is a manager or overseer, an employee in that capacity, the manager of a household or of household affairs. So how are you managing? In other words, you manage things for someone else. As stewards and managers for our Lord, we manage, as we said, our time, our talent, and our treasure, the way he would have us to manage it, not the way we want to and decide to manage it. You know, people sometimes have faith, but they never do the second half, which is make a decision to be faithful. And we've always said the faith to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. Now, to be a faithful witness, so for example, to share your faith and to say, I'm not going to go a week without spreading the gospel, either through my life, by showing Christ love, showing Christ life, showing Christ light, or I'm going to share Christ. So some people have faith, but they never make a decision to do that. They don't step out, and they don't stick it out. And so sometimes we even hear appeals, you know, bring people to church. You've heard me say, bring people to church, invite people to church. But people have faith to do it because they've been taught the word of God on it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. We give scriptures, go into highways and byways and hedges and compel people to come in. But people never make a decision. So they're disqualify their faith because they're unfaithful. Because that's the way the Lord would have us to manage our time, our talent, our treasure. We manage it according to the Lord's way and the Lord's will. He is the master. He is the owner. He is the ruler. He's the one who tells us the way he wants things done with our time, our talent, and our treasure. He gets to tell us what to do. That's why he's Lord. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, and I thank my God, thank Christ Jesus the Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me what? Faithful, putting me in the ministry. Somebody say glory to God. See, faith is what, when you can believe and trust God, faithfulness is when God can trust you. It's about trust. Typically, faith is what we talk about a lot at church, in church. But faithfulness is what God talks about the most in the epistles, the letters to the church in the New Testament. So in this series, we've been emphasizing financial stewardship, and the importance of this is to be found faithful. Everybody say faithful. So our Heavenly Father wants you to be faithful with three things: time, talent, treasure. Time, have you been in the Word, in the Spirit weight room? To do your strength and conditioning? He says not to forsake the coming of yourselves together. Amen. Praising God to generate the power and strength to be in the Lord. Amen. Are you using your skills, natural abilities, God-given talents and graces to use anytime, anywhere? There's enough people just present right now to turn this whole community upside down. He said to where there's two or three gathered together, there am I. It's a matter of who we trust. It's not a matter of numbers and what's arrayed against us per se. It's about everyone making that quality decision to be faithful, to be found faithful. Amen. Treasure. Are you using your money to promote and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you sowing and serving your money and material resources to build your kingdom or his kingdom? Your empire or his kingdom? Brother Hagin, after 12 years of pastoring, was told by the Lord that he entered in the first phase of ministry. He asked the Lord, what have I been doing for 12 years? I've been preaching, praying for the sick, you know, getting people saved, getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, you've been proving yourself faithful. Now, Pastor Cynthia and I, we spent 16 plus years put together, probably more than that, serving in the ministry helps, serving as associates and stuff, until we got to a place when we launched the church. Why did we just qualified? Because we had been since the time got born again. He said, well, that's a long time. Well, God wants to prove you before he promotes you. And what proves you? Faithfulness. Hallelujah. So faithfulness qualifies you for more. Let's go back and look at it from a stewardship financial management context. Luke 16, verse 1 through 13. And he said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who was a steward. Now, we just defined steward, so he's a manager. And accusation was brought to him, and this man was wasting his goods. Amen. He was wasting the Lord's money. Now, remember, we said the key mentality for us to have is that we're stewardship and not ownership. So he called him and said to him, what have I heard about you? What's this I heard about you? Give an account of your stewardship or your management, for you can no longer be steward. Now he's telling him, you're going to be fired. 2018 language, I'm terminating you. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking my stewardship away from me. I'm going to lose my job here. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I have resolved to what to do. Then when I'm put out of my stewardship, I receive me over to their houses. Now notice, he didn't talk to the Lord. He decided his way to protect himself and to provide for himself. Now why is he getting fired? He still can't be trusted to handle things the way the Lord directed him to handle the money. Because remember, if you're a manager, you're a steward, you're managing on the behalf of someone else. We used to say that when I was with Church's Chicken, this is Church's Chicken and not Ed's Chicken. So we had to do it the way they say do it. We had to manage it the way the policies and procedures and programs say to do it, not my way to do it. Are y'all here today? Yes. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. So he called every one of his debtors to him, and he said to the first, how much do you owe? Excuse me. How much do you owe my master? Now, whose money did they owe to? Who they were in debt to? His master. But he's making deals under the table. And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said to them, take your bill and sit down and write quickly and write 50. Now, did the master tell him to do that? And just like people today, did the Lord tell you to do that? Do you see what I'm saying? And people just do things their own way. Then he said to another, how much money do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And then he said, I'm going to take your bill and write 80. So the master commanded the unjust, he called him unjust, steward, because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of the world are more shrewd than a generation of the sons of light. Well, he made a deal to take care of himself. And he said to him, make yourself friends of unrighteous men. So when you fail, you may receive into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in that which is in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Big, powerful words there. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And those, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. He either will hate the one and love the other. He will also be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and what? Mammon. So we're called to be wise and faithful stewards. And the first stewardship test, as we said, is the money test. It's money. money is the lowest level. Amen. Remember, being faithful means you are trustworthy, reliable, and dependable to manage the things, in this case, manage the Lord's money the way he wants to. How do we handle the managed money God's put in our hands? What can we learn from this parable? Why did this steward get fired? He couldn't be trusted with the Lord's money, manage his owner's money. He was, everybody say it, unfaithful. Everybody's quiet. I'm glad I studied and got my notes in front of me. Jesus said money is the least area of trusting God. Verse 10. You got to be faithful in the least. Calls money the least. To be ruler, considered more. Money tells the truth. Using your faithful finances is the least use of your faith. And if you haven't done that, which is least, you won't be able to do the greater things. God doesn't work, doesn't ask for tithes and offerings because he needs your money. He asks them because he wants you to learn to trust him with all your heart. And finances and money are the first step in that direction. Amen. Because he called money a master and God a master. Nobody can serve two. We said money affects your heart, but also reflects your heart. You just need to line up your debit or your bank statement and your checkbook and see where the money. Follow the money. Amen. See, prosperity is not defined, as we said, in times of plenty, but it's forged in a person's heart in times of lack. It's about who you trust. So the greatest test that you and I will ever face is never heart trouble or brain tumor. It's the test of prosperity. When you get paid, when you get increased, when you get an allotment, either from the government or Social Security or your pension plan or your job or your business, when you get increase in income, how do you handle and manage what's put in your hands? See, you can't not allow fear and frustration to paralyze you or poison you when the leading of God comes on your heart to trust God to give. See, money isn't the problem. It's where you put your trust is the issue. So, friends, we have to ask ourselves, are we putting our trust in the Lord? And again, we said it before, faith is when you trust God, believe God. But faithfulness is when God trusts you. Through the good times, the bad times, you're still the same. You are consistent. Come on now. You are faithful because he can trust you to say, I want you to give this. Okay, Lord, I will. I'm not going to buck up and argue and then undercut what the Holy Spirit said in my heart and smile and think, well, okay, I'm giving. I'm faithful because I'm putting $2, $20, $50 in the offering. Hallelujah. Thank y'all for helping me today. Thank you for helping me preach today. Oh, praise God. Someone who's really trusting the Lord will prove it by their tithing and giving out of their resources. Again, the issue isn't money. It's where you put your trust. Serving money enslaves you. The Bible, but the Bible is full of evidence that it blesses his servants. So if you serve God instead of money, he'll bless you. So let's just narrow it down to two columns. Are you faithful or unfaithful? Most people think of themselves as faithful. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, 20 verse 6, most men proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? This verse indicates that faithfulness is rarer than you think. He said, who can find a faithful man or woman? Let's examine three biblical aspects of faithfulness. Number one, first, is found in Proverbs 14:5. Let's all read that together. Let's just read it together. You see it on the screen. ready, read. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So the first major characteristic of a faithful, big ones, these aren't all of them, but just three big ones, they don't lie. They don't lie on their taxes. They don't lie to their boss. They don't say, I'm sick, and they call out sick, but they're really not sick. Help me, Lord. I'm trying to work this thing. They say, I feel a little pain, so I got to call off church. I got problems. I got to call off church. Well, praise the Lord. You're lying. You just didn't want to come to church. Just be honest. You didn't feel like coming. People make a decision, and some people even tell and communicate Saturday night or Friday night, I'm not coming because of excuses. But it's really the thin skin of falsehood stretched tightly over a bald-faced lie. Tell the truth. I don't feel like coming to church. Let's be honest. Amen. Lying is the most ungodly and unholy thing you can do. In the New Testament, we saw Ananias and Sapphira. They said, yeah, that's the land. We sold it for that much. The Holy Spirit was moving on everybody's heart where everybody was a spirit of generosity, a spirit of giving to get the church established. We need that in this church. We need the Spirit to move on people where they stop thinking about what I got and what I had to have and what I got to possess and think about what the church needs. And that Spirit gets moving, and some people quench that Spirit. Just like Ananias Fires, they say, well, we sold that land, that piece of possession, but for that amount of money, and they gave half of it. What was basically doing, they were lying in the presence of the Holy Spirit. They lied in church. Like people say, well, this is my tithe. Well, you know, it's a tip. It's not a tithe. You're lying. That's not faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. They said, well, I got this from the insurance company, or I got this from some settlement. Well, they feel like, well, I don't have to give it. That's increase. It may not be income from a job you work 40 hours or 50 hours or 60 hours, but it is increase. He said, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of what? All your increase. So some people lie about the increase they get. And some people lie about the things they do, which is off the table, off the books. The IRS doesn't know about it. I'm making money on the side. I'm running game and running business on the side, but it's not legit. It's not even legal. So I'm lying. Well, praise the Lord. I had to work this one this week because I knew I'm going to get some stares. Okay. Everybody say, Lord, help me be faithful. Now let's look at the next one, next characteristic. Proverbs 11:3. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he was of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So the second big characteristic, can you be trusted with confidentiality? Now, we said this, particularly teaching about spiritual gifts on Wednesday night, that if God has to trust you in private and with privacy before he uses you publicly. In other words, some people want God to use me, but you're a blabbermouth. You talk too much. You gossip. You can't wait to get out of the meeting before you share and post and publicize. I remember a pastor talking about he was working at a ministry, and I'll leave them nameless, but they were talking about they've got in the head of the ministry closed the door and told them, and you guys been in those, some of those meetings where perhaps at work or whatever, where they say, well, this is confidential, because they're talking about confidential plans and changes of direction, or somebody's going to get released and they're going to do a reorganization or adjustment or something like that. And they shut the door and say, well, you know, this can't be shared beyond the room.
But people steal. People steal.
Amen.
I mean, I was in, human resources for 12 years, and I've been in these secret meetings or private meetings, and they said, well, don't let it get out. I mean, the president of the company, the high big wigs, the executives, they say, don't share, don't talk about what's going to happen. Keep it to yourself. I mean, and it was hard even when they were going to sell this territory to a franchise that I was working in. And you had to share it. I had to walk, look around, look at people, smile, but I knew what was going on. But I had to keep confidential. Why? Because I had to be faithful until the end. Even though I knew I was going to be out of a job. Amen. And so sometimes I see people, and then next thing you know, you're getting phones ringing. People weren't even in the meeting. They heard about the meeting and heard about what's said in the meeting. Now, how'd they get to hear that? Now, this pastor I'm talking about was in Oklahoma in a meeting, closed door meeting, said, nobody share this, go beyond this room. Everybody got that. Everybody said, yes. And what happened? That afternoon, he said he got a phone call from California saying, I heard y'all had a meeting. I heard y'all talked about this. Is that true? And he's like, how'd you hear that? Well, somebody got out of there and said, well, don't tell anybody, but this is what went on. And then that person tells one person and says, don't tell nobody. They think that they're not going to tell her. And then they tell somebody else, and they tell somebody else.
Yep.
The same thing happens all the way down the line. You can put it in a family context.
Amen.
Because sometimes you hear the kids say something. Well, that's what the parents been sharing. They don't say this stays in the house. They can't be trusted. And you know that people gossip about other people in your circle. They gossiping when you're not there about you. So you hanging around unfaithful people, and it's going to rub off on you. Just like we sent out the little preview note. Well, part of that is we got confidential information that for church people who serve only, because we talk about different things. Well, we'll see how it gets out. Can you be trusted with secrets? Now, I had a top secret clearance and 18 different other accesses when I worked at the National Security Agency, when I was in the U.S. Army, and the big deal, when you sign the paper that you got this clearance by penalty of treason and possible penalty of death by treason, if you gave out secrets, you could get killed for it. A faithful spirit conceals a matter. Amen? Some of us gossip and listen to gossip, and you got the gospel spirit. You need to get delivered from it. Amen? Can you keep things confidential and protect people's privacy and their dignity during their crisis? So somebody may be going on, something may be going on in their life that's really hard and horrible, and you know about it, and then you go tell about it. Because a talebearer reveals secrets.
Amen.
You can't be trusted with information. Amen.
Amen.
And I made sure my boss always could trust me with information. And he would still point his finger at me and said, you better not tell anybody. No. I said, look, I kept secrets in the Army. I can definitely keep secrets in the corporate. And God never uses you publicly if he can't trust you privately and with privacy. You talking about your kids, talking about your husband. Amen. The husband or wife may have shared or bared their soul about their deepest pains and deep problems that they have. And what are you going to do? I hear people about, they telling their mama and they telling their daddy. And they telling people, they letting it out. It ain't about them cheating per se, physically in adultery. It's about them cheating, not being faithful to their spouse. Because there's no spouse in the room or in the world that's perfect. But a faithful person conceals it and says, I know I'm working, we're going to pray with you. And you only share it with trusted individuals. That's how marital infidelity starts, because there's unfaithfulness there, usually starts in the soul realm and in the heart realm. Y'all quiet. 1 Timothy 3:8 through 11, we find, I want you to notice something. He's talking about qualifications for leadership and serving in the church. He says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued. That means they're not lying, talking one way at church, and they have mouth, loose lips and sink ships when they're out of church. Some people talk a good game, but they don't walk a good game. That means they're talking out of both sides of their neck, we sometimes used to say. Amen. Talking faith in church, but talking flesh and their feelings and their frustrations out of church. That's double tongue. That's double talk. That's really based down, basically lying. They embellish things. They tell whopper tales. They post and publicize their drama. He said, not giving too much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of faith, which is a pure conscience, but let those births be tested. I mean, in other words, we got to play the faithfulness test on there. And let them serve as deacons. Be found how much? Blameless. That's just to serve in the church. You got to have a good reputation, got to qualify, because you can't become disqualified. Remember, faithfulness qualifies you for more. You could be able to handle things. You can become a handler. I can handle information. Amen. I can handle money. I can be trusted. Amen. Likewise, their wives must be reverent. Now, he says the wife's not included too. The spouse, we can just say in that matter, must be reverent. That means respectful. Not disrespectful. Not slanderous, temperate. That means not temperamental. Amen. Not moody, we might say, but faithful in how many things? Faithful in all things. Notice you are promoted to positions of responsibility based upon your faithfulness. You are proven faithful before you're promoted for more. Now, you look at the three contexts we're talking about: time, talent, and we're emphasizing treasure. Let's look at the third characteristic. We found that what we just read through Luke 16, the unjust steward. Can you be trusted or reliable with money? Now, membership, we said, is partnership. It's covenant partnership. Now, one of the things that you have to commit and submit to is that I may earn 100% of the money, but 10% of it is the Lord's. And can I be trusted to be faithful in giving that tithe through the local church on a consistent and regular basis? Good seasons, bad seasons, hot, cold, summer, winter, you're the same. Amen. Will you be, in other words, will you be reliable and dependable to tithe when things are good and when things are tight and lean? When things are favorable and good, are you easy to tithe? But when things are tough and tight, do you withhold or keep back the money that belongs to the Lord? And unfortunately, saints, we've seen the inconsistencies. Same people, same general amount of income, but they hold back. Because it's tight. They hold on because it's lean. And there's some lack there. So I can't do it. I can't be trusted to do it. Now, as a church, we have to budget around the member, the core members, and their tithing, of it, because we're talking about we're going to be talking about planning for next year tonight in our meeting. But it's hard to plan when the cash flow goes, okay, we're doing good, and then whoop, whoop, what happened? People became unfaithful. Amen. See, when things are favorable and good, it's easy to tithe. But when things are tough and tight, you withhold, keep back the money that belongs to the Lord. Can you be trusted to be generous? And at times, sacrifice what you want and what you desire to do to do what the Lord wants you to do financially. Like we said, the challenge sometimes comes in indulgences. We want to indulge in leisures, in entertainment, and in food, and in clothes. Again, people post about what they're eating, what they're going out to eat. But they never post about how faithful they give. It's always about the indulgences. It's always about the pleasures. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with what? Blessings. Let's read that together. Ready? Read. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who is hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. In other words, let's take the first half of that. A faithful person will abound in blessings. Now, notice it didn't say a saved person. Because there's a lot of saved folks not abounding in blessings. Amen. And because what they do with their money is they mismanage it, they're doing it their way instead of the Lord's way. Because they want to be quick to get rich. I'm trying to accumulate and acquire and consume, not contribute. In other words, I'm living to get. We say, get all you can all you get. And then they sit on the can. But you ought to live to give and give to give.
Amen.
As we stated last week, we must exercise our faith for increase and abundance by tithes, giving offerings on the front end. But we must also exercise faithfulness to manage the increase in abundance on the back end. So we said, if your giving is not going up with your corresponding increase of income, then you're not flatlined or plateaued, or some people say, well, I give enough, and they just continue to give that same amount, even though they've gotten a bonus, an increase, a pay raise. They're not giving going up. Their giving is plateaued, flat. It's actually going down. And that's why Proverbs 11 can come to fruition. There is him that gives, but it tends to poverty. But there's him who is generous, and it tends to increase or prosperity. In other words, their giving has gone down proportionally, and now they're not giving toward increase. They're giving their way to decrease because they're starting to tip now. They stopped tithing, or they stopped giving offerings at all above the tithe. Hallelujah. Faithful increase in abundance is worthless if the faithfulness to be honest, honorable, and trustworthy in the management and stewardship of your God-given resources is not there. Remember, God gives us increase for us to be able to make an impact and to have more in order to do or give more. As we increase financially, our generous giving should also increase. So we must faithfully manage the increase in abundance that God puts in our hands and in our lives. Now let's go to Psalms. Go to the Psalms. Psalms chapter 12. I'm going to read it out of Amplified Bible. Y'all good? Y'all checked out, gone home? Some of you closing your eyes. You stand up. Remember, we said when you're bored, your mind wanders and you don't pay attention. Amen. When you're bothered and pressured, your mind worries. Both are not good. Now help, Lord, verse 1, for the principle and godly people are here no more. So people have fallen away from faithfulness. Faithfulness and the faithful vanish from among the sons of men. To his neighbor, each one speaks words without use or worth or truth. And flattery lips and double heart, deceitfully they speak. That means they talk a good game. They even say, I'm faithful. Nobody ever says, well, don't pick me to volunteer for that because, brother, I'm unfaithful. But the proverb says it truly. It's truly stated because it's the truth. Most men proclaim their own goodness. But a faithful person or a faithful man or woman, who can find? No, people talk big about themselves. Everybody say, watch my words. May the Lord, it says, may the Lord cut off the flattering lips and the tongues that speak proud boastings. Those who say, with our tongues we will prevail. Our lips are our own to command at our will. Who is Lord and master over us? In other words, they're at home talking big junk. This is what I'm going to buy. This is what I'm going to get. When I get paid, they talk about acquiring and consuming. They got Amazon on speed dial or favorites. Come on now. They spend mentality, not sow and reap mentality. Faithful words, friends, are sincere, honest, and trustworthy words. You can count on it. When he said, I'm committed, I'm submitted to the church, that means what? I'm tithing, whether it's I'm going high or I'm down low and everywhere in between. You can trust me. You can count on me. They are truthful and in love, faithful words. But see, flattering words, as the scripture's talking about, are insincere. They compliment and they cheese up, but they attempt to enhance attractiveness. Like, I'm good because I'm talking good. Being good is better than talking good. Amen. These words are empty, prideful, and deceitful. Because they say one thing and they do another. Is anybody here today with me today? Hallelujah. Now let's talk about how this unfaithfulness is put, and we'll pick this up on Wednesday, this part, because we're going to close in a second. John 10:10. John 10:1-10. Because what we shared last week is still prevalent. We've got to stop the thief. How does he get in? How does he try to maneuver around you to get you to disqualify for increase by getting you to be unfaithful? All right, let's look at this, what Jesus said. All right. Most assuredly, I say unto you, he who enters in by the sheepfold door climbs up some other way. The same as a thief and a robber. Everybody say, don't be a thief and don't be a robber. In other words, when you try to do things outside of God, now we talked about it during offering time, don't be misled, don't be deluded, don't be deceived to thinking that you can mock at God's precepts, that you can sneer your nose and thumb your nose up at God's principles. You can't do that. You can't. You got to do it God's way. So they try to do things outside of the way of God. They say, I got a better way. No, it's the Lord's way. That sometimes that frustrates people in the church context. When the visionary, and I've been in many different churches over the years, and pastors wanted to keep me and keep me there. Some of them wanted to, you know, pay my bills off and pay me a job to stay there. It was very tempting, but at the time when you got four kids, you had to feed. But because they knew that we were faithful, we had to prove ourselves faithful in those churches. But we had you see people lined up running to the pastor. I want to do this. I want to do that. And either it's not part of the vision, or and it brings division, or they want to do something and they want to handle something, but they won't do it their way, not the way the pastor told them to do it. And then their statement is, well, they're just trying to control me or micromanagement. I've been in those tough conversations because I was director of ministry helps one time. I was been associate pastor, assistant pastor several times, and I had to check people. Now, back when I was smaller and leaner and a little bit more buffer, I could check a little bit better. But I'd check them. They come in with ulterior motives. What were they doing? They were trying to come up another way. Remember, a thief does not come to your front door and knock on the door and say, here I am. I'm here to steal all your stuff. Right. No, they don't let you know they're there. They want to sneak in on you. They want to see, can we get a window open and I can sneak in through the back window or the side window or the back door? Yes. Isn't that right? Yes. They come up some other way. Well, some people try to do things another way. And some people, even in the church context, they say, well, I've been giving the children, and we've seen it in this church, and been responsible for the youth, and we sit down with them and give them the vision and lay out the plan and lay out the priorities, and they still go do it their way. And then they get upset because they say, we say, well, that's not what we wanted. That's not what we were looking for. Yes. And they say, well, I did it better. I had a better idea. Unfaithful. Unfaithful. That's my people telling the Lord that. I have a better idea. I have a better way. Unfaithful. Amen. They give place or align themselves with the thief. Well, praise the Lord. But he who enters in by the door of the sheep is the shepherd of sheep. To him the doorkeeper openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And yet by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they did not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Everyone who came before me are thieves and robbers. What is he talking about? Thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find pasture. The thief comes not except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more, what? Abundantly. Let's unpack real quick some of these truths. Jesus is emphasizing thieves and robbers. And thieves and robbers always go not the way of Jesus, the door, but they come in another way. That means I'm going to try to do it my way. Now remember, how is this tied to faithfulness? Because faithfulness is doing things, being trusted with things, being done a certain way. It's not yours. You're just the manager or steward of it. Hallelujah. What can we learn from this? When we do not come willing and submitted to do the things the Lord's way, you align yourself with the thief. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And we have to understand this point. That a lot of people say, well, I'm busy, I'm hustling, I'm getting in there. And so they confuse diligence or dutifulness with faithfulness. And diligence and dutifulness is not the same as faithfulness. Because somebody should be all energetic and stirred up about us and passionate about a certain program in the church or certain ministry in the church. And they're diligent to do, but they do what they want to do. And not what the leader or the pastor has told them to do. So they say, well, I'm faithful because I'm diligent to do stuff. I'm dutiful. But that's not the same as faithful. See, Jesus called the devil a thief, and thieves steal and rob things. Thieves never come through the front door and ring the doorbell. They get in another way. How do we allow the thief to get in? Well, sometimes he comes another way. He can't come directly and knock you on the forehead and say, may I steal your money? May I steal your health? May I steal your wealth? He's not asking nicely. He's trying to sneak in. And like we said Wednesday night, how he gets in, sin lets him in. Because there's a deceitfulness of sin. When you yield to the temptation, you've let the thief, you open the door, you open the window, come in. Now, how's that play in the context of what we're talking about, being faithful? Look at Ephesians 5:25. Real quick, we're almost done. Wherefore, put away lying. Let every man speak the truth with his neighbor, for he are members of one body. We talked about lying. Faithful person does not lie. Be angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So, in other words, you can be angry, but don't sin. Now, this is referencing the hidden emotion of anger, that vengeful, that revenge, that eye toward revenge, that I'm going to get you back. I got you back. That hate, the hateful spirit, that spirit of unforgiveness. You know, don't let the sun go down without resolving your heart issues with people. Now, you still have some things to work out in your head, like the memory of it, the pain of it, the problem about it. It's not, I didn't say that part, the heart issues. The heart issues is you forgiving and letting it drop and letting it go, giving up the resentment. Because if you don't, remember we said unresolved anger, this hidden emotion of anger will metastasize, and you become homicidal or suicidal. You're going to hurt somebody else or you're going to hurt yourself. And how you hurt yourself is you let the door in and the thief comes and steals your health, steals your wealth, steals your sound mind. Amen. It happens every time. Because the thief will never let you know, I'm coming in. He's not broadcasting. He's sneaking in another way. Let's keep going. Let him neither give place to the devil. Was right in the middle of that. Don't give the devil any place. That means you got to keep him out. One of the ways you can keep him out is being faithful. Don't lie. Don't change. Be trustworthy. Be dependable. Watch your words. Don't sin with your lips. Everybody should be praying. Psalms 39:1. I will take heed to my to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will put a bridle on my mouth while the wicked are before me. Now, that's not about wicked people before you. That means wicked spirits before you. They're waiting for you to give them permission because of what you say out of your mouth. Amen. Let him who stole, there's a stealer. So lies and thieves and stealers run in the same. Let him who steals no more, but let him labor, working it with his hands, the thing which is good, that he had to give to him that needeth. Somebody says, glory to God. Now, how do we deal with the devil? We'll talk about a little bit of that on Wednesday. In James 4:7, it says, resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, there's two things as we're closing that God will never do for us. He will never receive for us, and then he will never resist the devil for us. We've got to do it. The understood subject is you. You got to submit to God, and you got to resist the devil. Everybody say, I have to submit to God, and I have to resist the devil. That means the thief that's trying to get in. When the temptation and pressure to come on you to tell a lie, you have to resist that. The pressure or even the pleasure in your flesh that tries to rise up and get you to talk about somebody and share their pain, their problems, and put them on blast and backstab them, you got to resist that temptation. Amen. Are you listening to me? Because sin lets him in. Sin lets the thief in. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Submission is not subjugation. Submit means to place oneself under. A proud person will find this to be the ultimate challenge. Because if you're in pride, you won't submit. And if you're in pride, you don't get the grace. Those unwilling to submit to God's control will never be open to the grace that God has promised. In other words, if you can't submit, your submission to God is shown and evident by your submission to people. Hallelujah. We should act without grumbling, gossiping, and divisiveness, even amid suffering. Humble submission is the key to the Christian life. Submission to God means you submit to a person. Now, I know I'm going to bring up a controversial word, but in Christ, we are equal, male, female, all that. But, you know, some of this Me Too movement has gotten into people's minds. And they think, well, I don't have to submit to nobody. I don't have to support nobody. And it's creating an independent, isolated spirit. And independence and isolation is a celebration of selfishness. That means I don't have to listen to my husband. I don't have to listen to my wife. I don't have to listen to my pastor. I don't have to listen to my boss. Amen. Amen. Saying you submit to God is evident by your submission to another person. Amen. That means you go up under them. You get undercover. Now, submission is done in private and in public. Behind the scenes, are you going to do ministry your way or the way you've been told? In privacy, are you going to do money your way or the way the Lord tells you? Saying you're faithful to God is evident by your faithfulness to another person. That means they're loyal. They can be trusted with information. They can be trusted to tell the truth and don't tell lies. Amen. They can be trusted to be the same. They can be trusted and trustworthy and relied upon. When they give their word, it's like bond. You can take it to the bank. They don't change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for these simple words that we shared with these, your precious people. And I trust that you will penetrate and permeate their entire being with these principles and with these truths that you, by your loving grace, you've empowered me and equipped me to share. Thank you, Father God. Jesus, we give you all the glory for it. We give you all the honor and praise for it. We thank you, Father God, for the anthem call today in this season to faithfulness, to submission. And let everyone understand and know that as we submit to you, dear Father God, as we submit to another person, we're empowered and enabled to resist and to receive from you and to resist the devil that tries to get through. Father, we thank you that many will be taught by the Holy Spirit even more in detail of how the thief has gotten in and how the enemy of our soul has come to rob and take things from us. Bless them in the hearing and receiving of this message. In Jesus' name, your word, all to the glory of God.